This is Lightning Playoff Rewind.
Right around Janot in the far corner. Gave it away in front. Lawrence scores. Just too many chances. Steven Lawrence has made it 4-2.
Get good gaps in the neutral zone, especially. Well, they were able to carry the puck in with a lot of possession. Maybe as much as we're used to, but it's tight checking games. Nothing's free out there. We got to be able to work through it and get to our offense.
Three chances, I think, in the power play in the first, and didn't really get any more in the top that. I think that just kind of hurt our play. We need to be better if we're going to get that many chances. It's pretty rare to get that much from a power play and not be able to put the difference.
Well, I mean, we had a couple power plays that we didn't do much with. We didn't do much with anyone tonight. So in a game that we got that many opportunities and they didn't, that's probably the difference in the game. And for whatever reason, didn't have the execution that we're accustomed to.
Some of it's on us, isn't our execution. You know, we haven't been as sharp in the power play as we could have been. And then ultimately, we did score a power play goal. And we, you know, we toe-picked at the blue line. And it took us offside. So that was, you know, it's just little things in the game like that that, it didn't go our way.
To break down yesterday's playoff action, here's Bobby Fenton on Lightning Radio 24/7 on the Lightning mobile app.
All right, folks, welcome to Lightning Playoff Rewind here on the Lightning Audio Network. I am Bobby Fenton on the morning after what was another tough one for the Lightning, and we come to you down 3-0 in the series, and the Lightning staring at the possibility of a sweep. Of course, Saturday at 5, Game 4 will offer another opportunity to win, another opportunity to extend the series to what would be Monday night. And it's a somber mood, no question. It's always tough. You know, when you get down 2-0, there's that line of demarcation. Like, you don't want to get down 2-0, but you can still do something from 2-0. And 3-0 is when it feels real bad. And the Lightning, to their credit, they got their first lead of the series last night, for one thing. But the Panthers eventually proved too much. A couple of quick goals got them back ahead in the lead. And in the third period, the Lightning giving up what would be the eventual game winner, as well as an empty netter. 5-3 is your final from Amalie Arena. So thank you for joining us today. We're going to try and straddle that line a little bit between not being too down and trying to stay positive, but also being realistic. And right now, and I always say this, and this is true when it's 2-0 as well, you know, you have to break things up. And that's obvious that you need to win 4 in a row. We know that, but you don't even think of it that way. You think of, if we can win 2 games, which is not as bad, just think of it that way, and make it 3-2, then all of a sudden in game 6, there's some pressure there. And if the Panthers don't win, it's a game 6. So, you know, obviously you can't win 2 until you win 1. We'll get game 4 on Saturday evening, afternoon/evening, whatever you want to call it. And in the meantime, we're here today to be therapeutic and help you guys out. So email me if you want to. Always like getting your questions on the show if anybody wants to do that. I know we don't do calls, but you can always email bobbygameday@yahoo.com. It's BobbyGameday. BobbyGameday@yahoo.com, or tweet at me on Twitter @BobbyGameday. So joined by my partner, my friend, the producer and director of the Lightning Audio Network, and a guy who's been around for a lot of these playoff runs, just like I have, Steve Versnick, joining us this morning. Steve, how you doing, man?
Well, you know, it could be better. Down 0-3 is, quite frankly, it stinks.
It's not a good spot to be in. If there's any good news, I guess, hockey is the most common sport where teams come back from down 3-0. In baseball, it's only happened once. In the NBA, it has never happened. In hockey, I'll just go and do the, I'm not going to do numbers corner yet, but I'll just throw you this one, since I know you're all wondering if you haven't read it already. But in all rounds, all best of seven series, any site, order, home, away, whatever, the team that is down 3-0 in a series, this is the 206th time that's happened. The previous 205 teams are 4-201. That's a 0-2-0 winning percentage. And so four times is actually, you know, that's happened. But it's not even the 3-0. I mean, the evenly matched series can get to be 3-0 sometimes. This one doesn't feel evenly matched. Now, the Lightning did, I mean, if you're into the deserve a win-a-meter on moneypuck.com, the Lightning actually came out 60% to 40, given the flow of play and the shots and the high danger chances and all that stuff, that they would win this one. It wasn't bad. It wasn't a terrible night for Vasilevskiy. In fact, I don't think it was as bad as the numbers will show when we get into them.
Yeah, I completely disagree with the numbers. Advanced metrics.
We'll talk about it wasn't, you know, Bobrovsky played a really good game.
Yes, he did.
He's done that Vasilevsky's played a couple good games, not quite as sharp last night. And so, hey, there's your result. So we talked, Steve, the other day. And I said, you know, I want them to really come out and get off to a good start and just show that this is a series, show that they belong on the same ice as these guys. And, you know, the first goal is obviously huge, but even beyond the first goal, just wanted to see them, you know, skate hard. And it was another bad start, honestly. It didn't get out of hand or anything like that, but it was another start where it felt like the Lightning were a little bit slow to get going, whereas the Panthers, from the moment the puck hit the ice, were out there skating almost like they were the ones down 2-0 is what it felt like.
I thought the Panthers were convinced the Lightning were going to come out flying because of being down 0-2, and they wanted to match that desperation. And they, so early on, they played with that more desperation or the energy or however you want to define it. And yeah, they kind of controlled play early. It was a little disappointing.
Yeah, no, it was. I mean, I was specifically saying, you know, I'm looking for this one thing to happen, and that doesn't even necessarily mean you're going to win or you're going to lose, but that's where you start. And Lightning allowing the first goal again, but like I said, it wasn't even that. It was just the flow of play, not great early on. And the Lightning eventually, you know, did level things out and actually took their first lead of the series. And this is something that I know you noted. It was 2-1 Lightning, and it didn't stop there. Like, they were really, really playing well with the 2-1 lead, where it felt like, oh man, you know. And you know that's the next goal is always big in any game, in almost any score situation. But a 2-1 game, and you've got that lead, and it's your first lead of the series, that's a big next goal. If you can make it 3-1, you can really feel like, okay, you know, here we go.
Well, first, if Brandon Hagel didn't trip over the blue line,
yeah,
that would have been the first goal before the end of the first period, and then you get the next two. And you would have had 3-1. Now, I mean, Hagel was offside. He tripped. He was offside. It was the right call when they challenged it. But, you know, it's those little things that cost you. You know, if you're up 3-1, it's a lot different than being up 2-1.
Oh, it's enormous. I mean, enormous. And, like, we don't know what would have happened if the Hagel goal, or not the Hagel offside, that goal had counted. Things behind that may have happened differently, or we don't know. What's your opinion, just as an aside, real quick? And that was the right call. What is your opinion on offside reviews and replay? I know some people just hate offside reviews. They don't think they should have them in hockey. I have no problem with them.
I mean, I'm generally opposed to replays as a whole. I think it slows the game down. I think it most of the time doesn't overturn anything. And I think sometimes we're looking for the smallest minute thing that has no bearing on a play. Like, a guy slides into second base, slides on the base, but as he pops up, his foot comes off by a quarter inch and the tag's still on, and now you're calling him out. Like, that's, to me, that's dumb. If you're looking to see, was a sliver of the skate still over the blue line or not, like, okay, if it's that close.
Yeah, the offside thing can get a little bit,
you know, egregious offsides, which is why they put the rule in. You know, okay, fine. I mean, you know, but those should be quick and easy to do. Like, It shouldn't, those don't take too long. It's the replays that take, you know, okay, did he complete the catch? And it takes us 8 minutes to go through a replay or whatever. Replays as a whole, I think we've gone way too far with it because of two things. One, we're looking for things that have no impact on the play to decide it. Like, the guy on the wing is offsides by a millimeter. But the guy on the other side came in the zone, shot the puck immediately, went in. That play on the side had no impact on anything. But we're gonna call off a goal for it. Or the other part of replays that drives me nuts is you can replay for some things, but not for others. They tell you the goal is to get the call right, but we can't replay this, or this. But we want to get the call right. Well, which one do you want? Like, I don't know. I don't like replays as a whole, but, you know, Brendan Hagel was offsides. It was pretty.
Yes.
It was pretty blatant one. I mean, he was clearly offside. It wasn't even close. He fell. It happens, and it was the right call was made. So,
I mean, we could do a whole show on replay.
Yeah,
I think people that discount it forget all the times when a horrible call happens, and you're like, whoa, okay, hang on, and then they fix it immediately, and you're like, you take it for granted, but like that would have stayed the same, and you know, there's things that have. Yeah. Stood out in history as being really egregiously bad when we didn't have replay that could easily have been fixed. But yeah, they do it wrong. I mean, first of all, in 2024, nobody, we shouldn't have referees in any sport, like looking at these little tablets in your hand. I'm like, there's guy, you have a guy with an 80 inch TV at the league office and it can all be done, or even at the stadium. Nobody should be looking at a tablet. But anyway, second of all, forget the replay part of things. And since, you know, we don't need to talk about a 3-0 deficit for an hour and a half here, let's talk about something else. What have you, here's what I've always thought about offside in hockey. First of all, I don't think cherry picking's that bad of a thing, but I get why the rule exists. What would you say if the offside rule was that you couldn't pass it to somebody offside, but if somebody was already in the zone, as long as you skate the puck into the zone yourself, it doesn't matter who's, you can't pass to somebody who's already in the offensive zone and you're not, but if you bring it in yourself, it doesn't matter where everybody else is. I think that's a good compromise to the offside rule.
So,
I agree, it's dumb to have skate blades and, you know, it didn't have anything to do. I think that'd be a good compromise.
So I'm skating it in the zone, but as soon as the puck crosses that line, I could pass it to someone directly in front of the net?
Yeah, I mean, once the puck is in the zone, all the normal rules apply.
But I meant you're just talking moving it a couple inches. I could.
No, I'm saying this. Yeah. I'm saying.
Yeah, but I'm saying
only the puck carrier.
Right, but I'm saying the puck
pass it to somebody.
The puck carrier carries it in the zone, but as soon as it crosses the line, he's already passed it up. He's passing it to the guy cherry picking in front of the net. That's your comment.
Right, yeah. The people cannot be offside just because of where they are. It's where they receive a pass from outside the zone, basically. So you can't pass it to somebody who's already in the zone. The puck still has to be carried in. But the puck doesn't have to be the very first thing in the zone on your whole team. A guy can already be in there as long as you don't pass it to him. And that wouldn't disrupt the flow of the game. Yeah. It would get rid of all these minute things where a guy on the wing that isn't involved in the play at all still is offside, and it would still preserve the spirit of the rule where you couldn't just hang out down by the net and some guy whizzes it 200 feet over to you because you cherry-picked. I think it's a really good idea. I'd like to see some exhibition games for something that way. I don't know if it's ever going to get any traction, but...
Well, let's call Gary Bettman. Right? Let's call Gary Bettman.
I think it's a good idea. Because... you're carrying the puck in the zone. You're not gaining an advantage of anybody. Like you said, it might even be exciting. Like a guy's wide open in front of the net, but you got to get that puck to the blue line to get it to him instead of just passing where you, it could be fun.
It's almost becomes like the red line and dumping it in. You'll see a lot of hits.
Exactly.
Right at the red line. A player's trying to stop you from getting the red line. So when you dump it in, it's icing.
I didn't even think about that, but there's another, yeah, sure. People like that.
So the blue line will become just kind of like that at that point.
Yeah.
Someone in the zone.
Okay, here's the other thing. If you're in the offensive zone and the other team clears it out, it's still the same thing. Everybody has to get out. But then the puck just doesn't have to be the first thing back in.
Okay. Well,
I think it's a really good blend. Anyway, I have no problem with the Hagel thing or anything like that. I'm still mad about Jonathan Drouin. What was it, 2016?
Well, that's kind of why they have the offsides rule.
You know?
Yeah, with the skate off the ice and...
Yeah, and then I think the Lightning win a Stanley Cup without that call. Another
very,
Stanley
very
Cup.
Very possible.
But anyway, that's, you know. But the thing with replay, here's the other thing I have a problem with replay. I mean, I love replay. I think it's great. I think we just do it wrong, and then people like you say it sucks because we don't do it right, and you're right. But how often are we sitting at home and we know what the call is or should be before they, like, why is it so easy and so quick for us and we're just untrained people on our couch? They should have a couch ref, I call it. I know they call it the sky ref in football. And the couch ref is a guy who's a formally trained person, but he's watching the telecast just like you and me. And he can say, it's a beeper. He just beeps, oh, no, hey, that you know, that was this, that was that, that was offside, or that was an incomplete pass. We see it at home. Within 10 seconds when you're watching football, right, you usually know what the call either is or should be. And yet it takes them like 3-4 minutes. So that's the disconnect for me.
Yeah. I mean, soccer's getting it better with the official from afar for VAR telling him when, hey, we're going to review it. I mean,
yeah.
He can already just say,
hey, man, that's offside, whatever it is. You know, yep. Soccer. My son used to play it, so I watched it more, but I don't watch a ton of soccer. But yeah, I mean, if you and me at home can do it, it shouldn't be that hard for them to do on a professional level. But anyway, that was. Unfortunate and nobody's fault. And John, you heard John Cooper in the quote you just ran there, the sound bite. And so it didn't happen. Anyway, the Panthers were able to stay within 2-1 after the Lightning did get the go-ahead goal, despite a very heavy flurry. And Bobrovsky had a lot to do with that. He had played a great game and everything. And then after that, it felt like the win was kind of out of the Lightning sails a little bit. And from there, it became a two-goal flurry, a one-goal lead for the Panthers. Lightning did tie it or get it within one at 4-3, but then gave up the empty netter. So, I don't know, man. You know, and listen, anything can always happen. I do feel like, do you feel like the Lightning did well to get to this point? I know they have the core of studs they have, and they should be always in contention with this group of guys, even though they've had a lot of salary cap casualties, and even though they're not the same overall group that they were when they went to three straight finals. There's been a lot of attrition. But with this core group, you figure they should always have a shot. I still feel like this team probably has hit its ceiling in the first round here. Watching them play against a team like the Panthers, and if they had drawn a different opponent, maybe I'd feel differently, but that's how I feel right now.
I think the Panthers are a bad matchup for the Lightning.
Yeah.
And I also think the Panthers are the best team in the East. I think if Tampa's playing Boston or Toronto or even the Rangers or Carolina, I think this is a different series.
Yeah, they could hang in there.
I think the way Florida plays, and as good as they are and as deep as they are, it was the worst matchup for the Lightning in the first round.
Yeah,
and so does the way this series going surprise me? No. Did I think it would be 3-0 at this point? No, I didn't. But is it shocking or surprise? You know, because I think Florida's a really, really good team.
Oh, and they are. I mean, there's no question about it.
You know, but to be honest, I mean, these are essentially 3-1 goal games. There was an empty netter, so technically a 2-goal game tonight.
Yeah, no, they're all 1-goal games. You're right.
1-goal games. And it's the Lightning's own mistakes that's costing them. The first 3 goals on Thursday night was the Lightning failing to clear the zone with the puck. And what does Florida do when they get the puck in their own zone? They chip it out and get it out. The Lightning keep holding on to it, trying to pass their way out of the zone, and they keep turning it over.
Yeah, they need to make it. I mean, they're not adjusting. And listen, mm-hmm.
It's been that way all year. It's been that way all year.
Been 82 games. And you could call it mistakes right now, or you also, I mean, Florida's forecheck is a big reason for that.
Absolutely. That's part of it.
But yeah, you have to adjust to it. You have to know that's what they're going to mm-hmm. do. And Cooper's even said that's what they're going to do all mm-hmm. series. That's what they always do. And yeah, the Lightning are not dealing with it well. And the Panthers have also, I'll say this much, and Kucherov is not just been awesome this year, but he's been an awesome playoff performer in years past, not just regular season. So I'm not bashing him. But yeah, he has to get going for the Lightning to do anything.
He looked off tonight.
Yeah, he doesn't look the same. We talked about it the other day after game 2. And now watching game 3, and it's obviously pretty bad time.
Yeah,
this week is pretty much it. But he does not look like he looked even a week ago. I don't know, like he's sick or I'm not. We're just speculating.
Didn't practice before. He didn't take the morning skate.
Yeah.
Before Thursday's game, which there was a couple players that didn't, but he was one who didn't. But he played. But he did not look him. Phil Esposito kept saying he didn't look himself. Doesn't look himself. Like something's not right. You know, I don't. Is he hurt? Is he sick? Is he? I mean, who knows? I mean, this time of year, they don't tell you anything. So, but the Lightning, you know, issues have been the series is one, they can't get the puck out of their own zone, and Florida's partly to say, as you said, they're forecheck, but two, they're not shooting the puck enough. They had 4 power plays? You know how many shots they got on their 4 power plays?
Yeah,
4.
It was not good.
No, actually, I'm sorry, 3. Let me see. Shots on goal. Let me see. Oh, they got 4. 4 shots.
4 shots. 0-4-4 for the power play.
Yeah.
Like, hey, the Panthers, man, their game plan, I mean, you could tell. They said, okay, well, hey, this is what these guys do to win. Yeah. Kucherov, you're not beating us. Point. They've smothered Kucherov in point. They've executed mm-hmm. their game plan perfectly. They know we don't have a lot of secondary scoring.
Yep.
And, I mean, that's what they've done. And, again, there could be something off. Like, you're right. He didn't practice. But yeah.
The Panthers got 3 shorthanded shots in those 4 power plays.
No, the pressure is relentless, and they've swarmed the guys they know they need to swarm, and they're trying to say, oh, hey, the rest of you guys beat us. And I'll say this, let's talk about if we're looking for any positives. I mean, Stamkos is a man possessed out there. I mean, he looks like his old stuff. I don't mean his old stuff because he's been good all year, but he looks like vintage Stamkos in this series.
The funny thing is, tonight, after 2 periods, he had the most time on ice for the Lightning. He was ahead of Hedman by 2 minutes.
I mean, he's back, baby.
Yeah, he has looked great in the series. He's got a goal in every game. He blocked that shot. So they had the empty net, and it's 4-3, and I don't remember which player came down the left wing. Maybe Tarasenko, maybe somebody. I can't remember who it was. And Stamkos is in the way, and he blocks the shot. Kick save and a beauty. And you just wanted them to go down and score off that. It would have been so hurt too. Oh, absolutely it did. But it was a great block, and you just were hoping they'd go down and score. Like, that would have tore the roof off the place.
Yeah.
Had they done that. But, yeah, Stamkos has been fantastic. I thought Tyler Mott's shot was fantastic, curled around.
Yeah,
put it on net. Like, they've got to figure out how they can get the puck out of their zone. Because the thing is, like I said, the first three goals on Thursday, they take control of the puck in their own defensive zone, so they have the puck. If they just clear it, they don't score, and they keep failing to get the puck out. And it's been a problem all year, to be honest.
No, it really has, and it's exacerbated by the fact that they're playing this team, and you're exactly right. I mean, we were talking beforehand, who do we think we would want to play? I don't know. I think now we know we didn't want to play the Panthers, but that's a really tough matchup for a team like the Lightning that their issues have kind of centered around inability to get the puck out of the zone or trying to do too much and getting turnovers back there that have led to scoring chances. And this Panthers team, that's what they do. Yep. So
the other thing to know about Thursday night, and game one, the Lightning had 55 hits.
Yeah.
Did you see the totals in Thursday's game?
Yeah. It was 80 or something like that. I mean,
86 hits. The Lightning were out. They were hit. To be honest, early in the game, they were hitting so much. They were taking themselves out of plays. And I think that's why they got off to a slow. They were trying to be so physical.
Game.
They were trying to be so physical that they went for some checks that after the puck had gone up the ice instead of getting back and playing the puck. I think that took them out a little bit. I know what they were trying to do to, energize and get them in the game. Eric Chernak had 11 hits. Cirelli had 9. I mean, they were trying to get themselves in the game physically, no question.
It's funny, maybe emotionally too, because I'll tell you, they had 86 hits. Like you said, that's an insane number. And yet it's been three games. The Panthers are up 3-0, but does this series feel like it's been nasty at all? This feels like very routine, mundane. It doesn't feel like playoff hockey. It certainly doesn't feel like there's the nastiness or the edge, especially when you show me. If you'd show me those hit numbers beforehand without letting me see the game, I would have thought, oh, man, these guys are going to be out there just, blood, sweat, tears. And it doesn't feel that way at all.
Well,
those hit numbers stand out almost because it doesn't feel that way at all.
We've seen down the stretch for the Lightning, and it's held true in this series, the oppositions do not want to take penalties against the Lightning.
No,
and so
that's their.
So
yeah,
there's some hitting going on, but they are not going to get in that extracurricular stuff because they do not want to give the Lightning a power play. Because the Lightning's 5-on-5 play this year has been average.
Yeah, at best.
But their power play was the best in the league.
Right.
Like if you want to play the Lightning, don't
Pretty
give them power
formula.
Plays. Which, to be honest, maybe the reason they lost the game on Thursday night is because they went 0-for-4 in the power play.
Yeah, and I mean, no power plays for the Panthers, so you can't complain about the officiating or anything like that.
You kept waiting for them to call. Granted, I don't think the Lightning really committed many penalties.
I'm not saying they got breaks, but
But, I mean, you were expecting the Panthers were going to get calls because the Lightning had two and then three and then four power plays.
You get two in a row, much less three. I'm thinking the odds of the next penalty being on the team that's already gotten two power plays are over 75%. I mean, they actually do keep odds on that, by the way. Yeah.
The last power play when Stamkos got tripped, you could almost see the official not wanting to call it.
Yeah, he's like, man, these guys are human.
They were obvious. They were obvious calls.
Yeah, you could not call it. But they know exactly how many they've given out for both teams. They know how many in a row they've given out. And especially when it's in Tampa, they're like, oh, man, I got to call this too. Okay, that's four in a row for the Lightning. And Lightning obviously didn't cash any of it in. They did get the one goal a little bit after the power play expired. It wasn't on the same zone trip, but, if you want to grasp at straws or something like that. And that's about as close as they got there. You can give me an email if you want to, BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com, on Twitter, @BobbyGameDay, Steve Versnick, @Steve Versnick, if you want to tweet at him. We do have a game time released for the potential game five on Monday night. It would be at 7 o'clock if the Lightning are able to win on Saturday in Tampa, and then they would go to Sunrise and play on Monday. Obviously, that's, you know, not the furthest thing from a lot of people's mind right now, but we're here to give you all the info. But a 5 o'clock game, so you know, fourth game and fourth different start time, I believe, right, Steve? You said that the other day.
Yeah, 12:30, 7:30, 7, and now 5.
And now 5. So, yep. Which I like. The 5 o'clock start's not bad, especially if you got kids, you want to take them to the game. Playoff games are a little harder to do that for, but you can still do it.
Mm-hmm.
But a 5 o'clock start there, and the Lightning will try to force a game 5. And that's, again, all you can do, man. All you can do right now is try and win that one game. Then you've got a chance to win another, and then it gets interesting. So just look at it as having to win 2 right now. And don't go any further than that, and you can't win 2 without winning your first one. But looking at a few of the numbers here, I already gave you the big one, which is 4-201, the record of teams down 3-0. As far as how a lot of Lightning players did at 5-on-5 expected goal share, Radish, again, he's been up there all series. He's played a pretty good series. He was mm-hmm. the Lightning leader as far as expected goal share at almost 70% during his time on the ice. Kucherov, let's say this. I mean, he didn't, you know, on the actual score sheet, goals, assists, all that stuff may not have looked that way, but he was over 60% along with Stamkos. They were the next two highest Lightning players after Radish, which may surprise some people. Hedman, Point, Cirelli, Duclair, Chernak, all above water, over 50%. And then you look down the line, Mott, even though he scored, was way down there along with Janot, and that's limited ice time, but still. Paul Lilleberg, around 30%. Dumba, Perbix, Asamont, and Hagel all in that low 40% range, almost breaking even. Glendening was around 40%. Nobody terrible. Vasilevsky, and this is, I know you said you disagree with this. Vasilevsky, actual goals allowed was 4. Expected goals against was 1.713. That's a goal saved above expected or below expected of minus 2.29.
I'm trying to figure out of the 4 goals he gave up, which ones did you expect him to stop?
Yeah, and under the one from the blue line deep that got tipped.
That, I believe Jadot hit that because there was one angle from the side that you could see the puck elevated. And Vazzy reached out where he thought it was going to be a little bit above the pads. And you can kind of see him like, how'd that end up there? Like, that hit Jadot, who was sliding in front. That was the Montour goal, I believe.
Right.
So
that one looked kind of bad in real time.
The Tkachuk one, okay, the puck comes from behind the net. On his stick, one-timed it, boom. Like,
yeah, it's tough. I mean, you're right. It's like no one of them looked bad. And, in fact, I can tell you, I'm not, you know, a lot of these numbers I just throw at people just to give the numbers out. But the expected goals on each one, the Tkachuk goal, the first of the game, the expected goals on that shot was 0.07. Not 0.7, 0.07. So, you know,
it was so quick. It was so quick coming from a turnover. Lightning failed to get out, turnover behind the net to Tkachuk. Like, if Tkachuk misses it, it's pretty much because he hit you, not because
that
you
stopped. That seems like a low
it.
Number. I would have thought an expected goal, and that would be at least over a tenth or two. But, yeah, apparently in that exact spot, that goes in 7 out of 100. I don't know. And then same thing with Reinhardt's goal, 0.04. That was from the right circle.
I mean, from that spot, but when you look at the run of play that happened from it,
Montour goal was 0.02. The Lorenz goal was 0.09.
The Montour goal, if it wasn't deflected, and I can't tell you 100% it was, but it sure there's the one angle that you could see it elevated as he was sliding in front trying to stop it. If he didn't get it, then it should be stopped. But I believe it was tipped and went up in the corner.
I need to do more research with the money puck people in the offseason. For example, the empty net goal. What do you think the expected goals on that was?
That should be
the
empty one. Net goal. That should be one.
It was 0.7. You can't tell me 70 out of 100 of that. I don't understand. Unless it's built. I need to find out how they calculate this.
If you're saying that shots, any shot in an empty net from that spot is 0.7, because sometimes there's a player in between. There was no player in between. Like the Stamkos one, the one before that Stamkos blocked was about the same spot, the Tkachuk's, I mean, a little bit back further, but close to the same spot, and that one was blocked but because there was a guy in between.
Yeah.
Tkachuk's there with nobody in between. That's 100% expected.
Right. We had a guy back who maybe could have dove, I guess, but he was not anywhere between.
No, it wasn't close. I mean,
so I don't know. I know this. It's supposed to be, you know, from where the puck was, where all the other players on the ice were, and then the velocity and angle of the puck. All those things are measurable.
Right.
And they come up with that number. Yeah. But that should still be, it almost seems like that would be the expected goal if there was a goaltender there. And it'd be a little high then. But anyway,
yeah.
I'm gonna look into this more. I don't want to just blindly throw numbers at people. The expected goals for the whole game, by the way, was 3.1 for Florida and 2.25. So the power plays affect that because they look at 5-on-5 and put more emphasis on that.
Yep.
But anyhow, the Lightning aren't good enough to win this series, even just winning the games they're supposed to win. They probably would have to steal a game that they shouldn't win. And not only they're not doing that, but the Panthers, you know, I don't want to say the Panthers stole one tonight, but that was a good opportunity for the Lightning to win. You had the lead in the second period at home. And so that one goes by the boards.
Give the Panthers credit. I mean, the Lightning.
Oh yeah.
The Lightning came out in the second period and got the two goals within the first 3 minutes. And then they surged. They were pressing. They were flying, buzzing. And the Panthers absorbed it and then got two more goals in that second to take the lead back. Like that's the mark of a good team.
You're right.
You know, they forced some turnovers and took the momentum and the lead back when the Lightning had everything going for them.
No, they did the things I remember the Lightning doing when they were going on their run. Mm-hmm. Like it's easy to not even think about the other guy when you're doing that. Like I remember the Lightning in those years winning Stanley, and not just the three in a row where they won two in a row and went to the final, but all the whole run starting in 2015, which doesn't feel like this is part of that anymore, sadly. But I remember so many series where the Lightning would just go out and just get the job done. Or even if they'd get behind a goal, you didn't even blink. You're like, whatever, you know, and they did. They would just come back and you didn't even think about the other team at all. Like they were irrelevant. You know, it was all about the Lightning. And now we're seeing that from the other side because, yeah, the Panthers are just unfazed and just rolling through. And it feels bad, man.
I mean, for the first time in this series, in the second period, Florida looked a little shaken or rattled. But they were able to steady it.
There.
They were able to steady it.
Yep.
You know, so give the Lightning some credit. If you want to take a bright spot out of this, is the Lightning showed they can make Florida uneasy. They can make them uncomfortable. They did it for about a half a period. Not enough, but like if you could try to build on that for Monday or for
exactly
for Saturday.
And not just from Saturday and from Monday, if there is a Monday. Mm-hmm. I'm not giving up yet. I mean, there's still games to hopefully more than one game to play. But now you're trying. There's going to be a lot of questions that have to be answered this offseason. And not just about an individual guy here or there. You know, really, the direction of the franchise. Like, you know, they're at a crossroads now because they're not the team they used to be. They still have a lot of the guys that made them the team they used to be, but they're not the team they used to be. So now, how do you approach future seasons? Obviously, you're always trying to win the Stanley Cup. Everybody is. Do you have the group to even, you know, that can be tweaked enough to try and still be that team? Or should you, I mean, all these, we'll talk more about this, you know, if the elimination happens.
Hopefully in 2 months.
Hopefully, yeah. I mean, it's still not over. But yeah, I mean, if you look at a team like the Panthers, who first of all were an 8 seed last year and went to the finals, so we know anybody who gets in the playoffs has a chance to go.
Mm-hmm.
And who second of all are really good now, and the Lightning are losing these close games to them. You know, is it something that, hey, we're just a couple moves here and there, you know, type of thing? Which people are going to be retained? Which people are we going to move on from? That type of thing. So that's all on the line, too, right now, I think. And you know, we won't know the answers to those questions for a while, but those are all considerations, too. I mean, you're not just looking at this series. You're looking at what is this team showing us going into the offseason, and what do we do now, right?
Well, that's exactly what Julian Brisebois said at the beginning of the season. And when Steven Stamkos came out and said, you know, they're not offering a contract right now. You know, what Julian Brisebois says is, I can't offer him one now. I need to see where we're at as a team.
Yeah, not just where Stamkos is at.
Where Stamkos is at, but where we're at as a team and what our needs are and what we need to do. And, you know, the cap hasn't gone up for, you know, it's gone up minuscule for the last 4 years, basically. Now it's expected to go up $4 to $5 million this year, which is going to be a big help. But, you know, he's also got guys like Hagel that's getting a big raise this year. And you've got guys like Vasilevsky and Kucherov who are under big contracts. So, you know, what Julian Brisebois said is, you know, at the end of this year, I need to see where we're at as a team. You know, and it's not that they don't want to re-sign Stamkos. It's not that they don't want to re-sign any of their guys. But it's, you know, those are the tough decisions you've got to make when deciding, you know, a 34-year-old in Stamkos, what kind of contract you're going to give him. Or, you know, the other guys that are free, you know, are they going to try to re-sign Matt Dumba or Anthony Duclair, who they traded for, or, you know, anybody else, you know, some of the guys like Tyler Mott, Luke Lindenning were on 1 year deals. You know, who are they going to, you know, it's about seeing, you know, where the team is. And this series is so far showing you that there are some holes they need to address and some things they need to change.
Yeah. And, you know, we're going to have a lot of time to parse over all that, whenever it is, like I said, hopefully it's not anytime soon, but yeah, that there's a lot of stuff right now with the team. And so in the meantime, we'll just focus on game four. It's a 5 o'clock start on Saturday. So how's the schedule look on Lightning Audio Network for tomorrow, now that we're set for game four and a 5 o'clock?
Well, Greg Linelli's pregame show will start at 4:30 as usual, and then we'll have the game broadcast, Dave and Phil, and then the postgame show, and then last call from the Cigar City Tap Room after that. So,
all right, well, let's see how it goes. I mean, if you're planning on going to the game, listen, if you're planning on going to the game, or you're thinking about going to the game, and now you might be easier now to go to the game if you want to, hey, come with it, all right? Let's go. First of all, independent of anything else, it may be the last home game of the season. And second of all, even if the Lightning aren't going to win the series, well, we don't know what's going to happen, but you know what? Make these guys pack a lunch to do it, okay? Like, make them say, ouch. You know, make it be so that they don't just come in here. It's just like baseball, when a guy's, like, digging in, everybody's joking around the dugout, and there's a fight at the bat rack because everybody can't wait to hit. No, no, no. You back them off a little bit, okay? And say, hey, you may get me. It may not be my day. You might win the series and all that. But don't let them come in here and just make it easy peasy. No, make them have to really make them spend, you know? That's always been my philosophy.
There's a ton of pride in that Lightning locker room. The one thing I know about Saturday, I have no idea what the outcome will be. Florida may win the game. The Lightning may take a game. But you're going to get an honest effort from the Lightning. They're not going to roll over.
No.
Whatever happens in the game, I mean, you know, there's too much skill, there's too much pride in that locker room that, you know, even if they get down early, they're not going to roll over. And they may come out and swarm the Panthers and take a big early lead and win the game. I mean, that's not beyond this team at all.
No, not at all.
I mean, the series, look, these are long odds for the Lightning. But it's not if there's a veteran group of players around the league that you would think could withstand an 0-3 deficit to try to come back from, this Lightning team would be one of those teams you would pick. Now,
and there you go.
Maybe they're not good enough to do it against this Florida team, and we'll find out. And that's why you play the games Saturday, and then hopefully Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday next week.
Yeah, we'll be there. And just like we don't expect the Lightning to roll over, we're not going to roll over either. We will be back 47 hours from right now with your post-game game four edition of Lightning Playoff Rewind. In the meantime, once more, email me if you want to, BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com. Follow me on Twitter @BobbyGameDay. Follow Steve on Twitter @SteveVersnick. It's been fun. We'll be back on Sunday morning, hopefully talking about a 3-1 series. And in the meantime, it was a big night Thursday night because you had the Lightning game. The draft went late, you know, and it's still ongoing all through the weekend here. So I know you're busy. You got Sports Day Tampa Bay and all that too, right? So
yep.
Get some rest, man.
Now, the rest is for the off season, which hopefully doesn't start for another, you know, 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah. Let's see. One game right now. Nothing else matters. One game. Game four, Saturday, 5 o'clock.
Bobby the Chief Taylor, you know, said, look, win one period and then win the next period and win the next period.
Yeah, exactly. Not even a game. Just a period right now, man.
Just a period at a time. Like, when you get your backs against the wall, you make it simple. You know, I hope when they play Saturday afternoon or evening, whatever you want to call it, that you see the Lightning come out with some energy at first, but just keep the game simple. Get the puck out of your zone. You know, go fight for that puck in a different zone, not your defensive zone. You know, if you got to chip it down the ice and go fight for it back, fine. If you got it in the neutral zone, fine. Like, get it out of your zone. Don't give Florida the easy chances off a turnover in your zone. If they can eliminate that in this series,
let's start there.
You can eliminate that. I like the Lightning's chances.
Yep.
You know, the first three goals were all off turnovers where they couldn't get it out of the zone. They had chances. to clear the puck, and they couldn't get it
out.
So
was the overtime winner the other night.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So
if they can eliminate that in their game on Saturday, I like their chances. And then if you can do it Saturday, you do the same thing on Monday.
And you get a chance. That's all you're trying to do is buy yourself some time right yep. now. And it starts with game four on Saturday at 5 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Friday. Enjoy your weekend. We'll be back, like I said, 47 hours from now and talk about game four. In the meantime, for Steve Versnick, I'm Bobby Fenton. That's your game three edition of Lightning Playoff Rewind. And wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and let's go Lightning.